Right, this is Sports Talk for fans by fans. Brian here. I got Alex with me. Episode 42, also known as the Kevin Love episode. Alex, do you have any other 42s ready this time?
Really? You're really going to sleep on your boy Ronnie Lott?
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to say the most obvious one. I was going to leave Ronnie Lott alone until later, but I just wanted to start with Kevin Love and get that one out of the way first.
I thought Jackie Robinson was the most obvious one.
Yeah, yes, he is, and that's the one I was going to end with later, but... I mean, since all of baseball wears his number for, a game every year. But Ronnie Lott, of course, the guy that has shamed Russell Wilson for pinky injuries or whatever. But Kevin Love, come on. Mariano Rivera, James Worthy, we got a couple. I got nothing after that, though. But, yeah, this is an NFL episode. We're going to get into some Week 7 recap, Alex. So before we get into some Week 7 recap, just really quickly, we had to deal with Bi-Mageddon or whatever crazy name you want to call it. The NFL expands the season to 17 games and has the great insight to put 20% of the teams on bye in 1 week instead of spreading everything out. So what did you think about having all these teams on bye, Alex, in not even really the middle of the season? I guess it's kind of the middle of the season almost, but what did you think about that? It was kind of weird, right?
Well, all my fantasy teams basically lost this week except for one that didn't really have anybody on bye. So
thanks for beating me.
And I am sorry for awesomeness. But yeah, that absolutely sucked. And then you have to throw in, you already got injuries because it's the NFL. So you're already down players just from injury, i.e. McCaffrey for me. And then now you have to throw in the fact that all those teams are off. And they're not just like, let's talk about terrible teams. Like, I mean, there's some heavy hitters. You had the Cowboys, you had the Vikings, who have a ton of fantasy players on their team. So yeah, it hurt this weekend. So hope you survive Bi-Mageddon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and we'll get to the fantasy talk later. And on the fantasy talk, we'll talk about some of the stuff. It's just ridiculous who the top five at each position group this week, just because of the amount of injuries and bye week players we had. So just a lot of obscure people as the top point scorers in football. So let's get into this. We're going to break down the week. We're going to do things a little different this week. So the format may be a little bit different. But the first thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the Thursday night game, Alex. The very uninspiring Denver Broncos going 3-0, losing the next four games technically, playing at Cleveland, who's starting all their key backups on offense. Case Keenum, who signed a 3-year, $21 million contract, and D'Ernest Johnson led the banged-up Browns to beat the Broncos on Thursday night football. In Cleveland, Stefanski is talking about how he wants Baker. He's hoping Baker Mayfield's going to be back. He's hoping Nick Chubb's going to be back. But, Alex, what did you think about that game?
It re-stereotypicalized what most people in the NFL circles thought, that if the Browns could get just average quarterback play – because how dominant they are running the football, they'd be able to be a good team and win games. The question, you know, I don't think Keenan did that great to, quote, you know, start a quarterback controversy, but I think he was average at best, and that's all they need to be, because you know they were going to run the football. Didn't matter if it was Chubb, didn't matter who it was. Johnson obviously ran for over 146 yards, so – that kind of just showed you kind of how dominant their running game is.
Watching Case Keenum is crazy how he can be an NFL quarterback, because I feel like I can throw the ball harder than he can. Every pass looked like it was going 20 miles per hour at most, but got the job done. The win puts the Browns at 4-3, a game back in the division. The AFC North is out of control. The whole AFC is out of control, which we'll get to in a little bit. The next game, Alex, the Washington football team, who will one day have a nickname, at the Green Bay Packers, lost 24-10. The woes continue for Washington, Alex. They had six red zone chances, or I think were six chances within the 25-yard line that equaled only 3 points. So when you hear that, there's literally no chance you have winning a game. In addition, Heinicke is rated as the 31st quarterback out of 33 eligible, and Chase Young, who's supposed to be the leader on the defense, was the fifth best rated person in PFF last year, is the 39th best this year. He has 1.5 sacks in 7 games so far. So, Alex, does Washington fix anything, or does it just keep getting worse?
Well, I don't see it getting better unless you think Fitzmagic is going to be their savior. We already talked earlier a couple of weeks back about how disappointing their defense is. Their defense actually, when you think about it, actually stepped up this game, holding Aaron Rodgers to 24 points. That's a godsend. But once again, you know, their old woes, offense hurt them this game. I mean, they score one or two of those touchdowns on the goal line. It's a complete different game. Maybe you make Aaron Rodgers, you know, play a little bit more. Another thing, Packers really haven't been the explosive offense that we're used to them seeing them. They just kind of been mediocre, doing just enough. And maybe this might have been one of the games where they would look ahead to Arizona on Thursday night. But the Packers, they weren't dominant per se offensively. I think Washington's defense kept them in that. They weren't defense was still great, but they were good enough to keep them in the game. But yeah, they're going to have to revisit this quarterback situation when Fitzmagic gets back.
Yeah, this the win puts the Packers at 6-1, pretty much a comfortable lead in the division. But the next 5 games, Alex, at Arizona this Thursday, which is probably the best Thursday game we'll see this year, at Kansas City, against Seattle, at Minnesota, and the Rams. So that's five. I mean, maybe not Seattle, but 4 out of 5 or five legitimate teams that they're playing. So. With that offense that you're talking about, I don't think they're going to make it out of that undefeated. What do you think they're going to break in that 5-game stretch? How many wins? Maybe 2 or 3?
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say they're gonna probably be like 3-2 or something like that. Maybe 2-3. It just depends on how the ball bounces. But yeah, but my gut is they're still gonna be at the top of the NFC North, obviously.
What do you think about the game? With Arizona. Well, actually, you know what? We'll talk about the Arizona game later on when we do some of the matchup talk. When you talk about Fitzpatrick earlier, he's still a couple weeks away. He's not fully healed yet, so it's Heineke's job. Although maybe see Kyle Allen at some point because Heineke just really isn't cutting it in terms of PFF grade. But it looks like Fitzpatrick is not really going to be back anytime soon. So I think the woes continue for Washington, unfortunately. 2-5, tied, three-way tie for last place or second place, whichever when you look at that in the NFC East. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think any of those teams are going to be contending. Next, probably the most confusing game this week, Alex, Kansas City at Tennessee. Kansas City 3 points, Tennessee 27. We don't have Kansas City winning this game. Before we get into this, Alex, I just want to ask you really quickly, could you name the starting quarterbacks on the Tennessee Titans this week?
No, I couldn't because I can only think of cornerbacks from the previous week, but I do not. And that is my home state team, and I do not watch them as much as I should. So, no.
Which is crazy because when you think about holding Kansas City to the three points, you think you know who they are. So one corner was Greg Maben, the cast off, even cast off being on the 49ers back in 2018. The other one is, which this is ridiculous. I didn't know this happened. Jack Rabbit Jenkins. I think he legally changed his name. He says he refuses to be called Janoris anymore. So he is now Jack Rabbit Jenkins as the other starting corner for Tennessee. I didn't know he changed his name. Did you?
I did not know that. The only person I know who's recently changed the name, who's a superstar, is Kanye West.
God. Yeah. So I guess that Jack Rabbit is his nickname growing up, and now he just wants to be called Jack Rabbit Jenkins. So whatever works. The Chiefs this offseason, Alex, addressed the offensive line out of the Super Bowl. Their new O-line, 4 of the 5 starting linemen are graded as. In the top 25 or better, which is good for their position group. But here we are, not able to do anything on defense. So I do want to point out, Alex, maybe this will help. The losses, the 4 losses are against good teams. They've lost the Ravens, the Chargers, the Bills, and the Titans. So it's kind of hard to say that, they've lost to bad teams. However, they also lost a tiebreaker to every single one of those teams they're competing for a playoff spot with. Their upcoming schedule, I know we kind of talked about this offline. We talked about they have some tough games coming up, but of their tough games, they only have 2 games against playoff teams. But they do have the Packers, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Raiders twice. Because the AFC is so banged up and they're beating each other up so bad, I feel like the Chiefs can still sneak in and take like a 7 seed. Do you think the Chiefs can do that? And how scary would that be if the Chiefs were a 7 seed going to the playoffs?
Oh yeah, they could definitely still turn it back around. It's, a lot of people are asking, is it personnel? Is it play? I think it's a little bit of both, but I think they're still good enough to kind of turn it around. We have a good coaching staff, and more importantly, you have a quarterback. You're able to kind of swap these things around. And yeah, if I'm the Ravens or if I'm the Bills, I don't care any of those higher seeds if they go to the playoffs, especially if you're Cincinnati and somehow get a high seed. You definitely don't want to see Kansas City.
Not at all. I think the thing with the Chiefs is kind of weird. We've seen Mahomes throw so many interceptions this year. I mean, in the past, I think we've always had the conversation with how the hell does he get away with throwing the ball? Like, especially Tyreek Hill, he just throws the deep ball, closes his eyes, throws it. Tyreek Hill somehow comes down with it. I think we're finally seeing that catch up with him, right? Because Mecole Hardman, Robinson, Gordon, they're not the same reliable receivers as when he can throw these, deep balls. I think that's part of the problem. I think it'll correct itself. So I think the Chiefs, I think, will bounce back. It's just, it's going to come down to their defense. Because, in the past, the Chiefs aren't getting the ball away. Their defense was, having one or two stops. When you have that combination, you're going to win every game. And so we're kind of finally seeing the other side of it, where the Chiefs are, getting lots of turnovers against them. So I think the Chiefs will be all right still. But I think the thing we can't take away, Alex, is how the Titans look. I just named the corners to you, and I think we openly trash talked the Titans defense. We had no trust in them this week. I still don't believe what happened, but they just beat the Bills and the Chiefs in a 6-game span, Alex. How do you view the Titans against the rest of the AFC because of those two wins?
They say you got to update your resume. So ever since they lost to the Jets, they've updated their resume and they beat two of the top teams. In my opinion, I still think Kansas City is one of the top teams in the AFC, if not the NFL. So they beat two really good teams. Now you can kind of, try to debunk them all that you want to, but it seems to me that Vrabel and their defensive side of the ball kind of corrected some of their defensive mistakes and woes. But they look like, they're coming around, and you want to, you don't want to play your best ball at the beginning of the year. You want to play in the middle of the end. So looks to me they're kind of tightening up a little bit for the playoff run.
Right, next we're going to move on to the Falcons at the Dolphins. The Falcons, who I talked up this year to finish second in the AFC or the NFC South, is now 3-3. Does that mean much? Probably not. But if the Saints lose tonight, that means the Falcons are going to be tied for second in the division. And then next week they have a divisional game, so we'll see how that goes. I think the big thing for the Falcons, Alex, is Kyle Pitts has been found finally. His last 2 games, 16 catches, almost 300 yards and a touchdown. It looks like he's the new Julio, right? Like we kind of questioned and wondered that the first quarter of the season, what the hell is going on? Julio's gone, but it looks like Pitts is taking on that role, right? I mean, how impressive have you been with Pitts lately?
Oh yeah, he's starting to come around. Every rookie doesn't hit the ground running. Sometimes it takes a little while. So yeah, he's kind of gone off the last couple of weeks. Now you could probably say they're probably, you question the teams, but Dolphins still got a good secondary, and he kind of they didn't know what to do with them. And Matt Ryan, the demise of Matt Ryan is greatly exaggerated because Matt Ryan looks like Matt Ryan. I know people keep trying to bury him and say he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, but I mean, he keeps slanging it.
Yeah, he's killing it. And we'll talk about him later in the fantasy segment. One thing to point out, though, with Miami, their offensive line, we've said this numerous times, and I'm going to keep bringing this up. I just want to remind everyone of how bad Miami's offensive line is. This is their grades across their front five, starting from their left tackle. Left tackle is a 71st out of 77. Left guard is 69th out of 77. They have a new center, because I think the other one got benched. The right guard is 50th out of 73, and the right tackle is 66th out of 77. So the people that have Gaskins or like me, when you trade in for anything you possibly could, they're not running the ball in Miami. It's not going to happen. It's going to be passing. It's going to be a Tua. It's going to be, and he's doing it with really only Jalen Waddle and Gesicki. So it's going to be interesting once Fuller and Devontae Parker gets more involved in the offense. So that's something to kind of look at. It's going to be Miami's going to be very pass happy. They just cannot run the ball even if they want to. It's just not going to work. So the fantasy side, look towards that. And man, Miami's got to they got to improve that offensive line. We've said that already, but here we go again. Alex, probably the biggest surprise of the week, Bengals 41 at Baltimore. So they're in Baltimore 17. Baltimore is a 6.5 point favorite. I think you actually picked Cincinnati to cover on the spread there, I think. Nope. I'm sorry. You actually picked them to win straight up, so shame on you. But how impressed were you with Cincinnati? Because at one point, I think it was a 17-13 game, and then Cincinnati just ran away with the game.
I was impressed more with their offensive line. We talked in the preseason about how you just had your quarterback going out for the year. You probably should invest in the offensive line. They stood up to Baltimore. Baltimore is a big pressure defense. They will send a lot of different exotic pressures at people, and they were able to get them picked up. And Joe Burrow was able to absolutely burn their defense. But I was more unimpressed with Baltimore. I don't think Marcus Peters or Matt Judon leaving their defense was that much of a big drop off. But I mean, they got shredded over by Joe Burrow. Then they at the end they couldn't stop the run. So if Baltimore is thinking about being a great team going deep in the playoffs, they got to correct what's going on defense, because right now their offense to me may be a little bit ahead of their defense right now.
At the start of the year, we both picked the Ravens to win a division. Does this game change your mind, or do you think the Ravens are still gonna win it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help right now. I mean, they won at Baltimore, and they put it on pretty bad. Me and you both questioned Cincinnati's defense. We were like, yeah, but Cincinnati's defense is—they're gonna come back to—they're gonna come back to form. We expect them to be one of the worst defenses in football, but they came to play. They shut my mouth up. They absolutely had a game plan for Lamar, and they kept him in check. So yeah, it changed my mind a lot. But like I said, I'm more looking more at Baltimore. Like, Baltimore, what kind of game was that?
I do want to say the one part I will claim credit for the Bengals on is I did talk up their defensive ends with Hubbard and Hendrickson. They've combined for 10.5 sacks so far through in the season. So the defensive ends are doing their job. But Alex, what are you more surprised with, the Bengals being in first place in the division, or Awuzie is number three PFF ranked corner in all of football?
Woozie.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
I don't.
I wasn't even gonna. It wasn't even a fight, Woozie. But
Yeah.
you know what? Even when he was with Dallas, I thought he was a good corner. The only problem with him, because of his ball skills, he would be right there with the guy. You put him on a wide receiver, he'll be right there. He'll have good coverage. The problem was they couldn't make ball the play on the ball. He couldn't bat passes down. He couldn't stop passes. But you go to a different defensive system, and hey, it's different.
That hurts because it just sounds like you're describing every cornerback on the 49ers, and it really hurts to hear that after the game this week. Anyways, Jets at the Patriots, throttling the Jets. Poor Jets. I think you text me saying Belichick's a dick. Agree. 54-13. Zach Wilson leaves the game early with an injury. They trade for Joe Flacco. They're bringing Joe Flacco back. Pats win their 12th straight game over the Jets, and the Jets. Are and the Patriots, all three wins of the Patriots are against rookie quarterbacks. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, based on what I just told you, I said Belichick's a dick. He's one of those coaches, kind of like Nick Saban. When your team loses, he just straightens the whip and he cracks it all week, beating you over the head. And the next team that they play is going to absolutely get their butts kicked in. And that's what it was. I mean, this game was over by like the first quarter, and it should have been kind of like, eat the clock, kind of kill the clock. It was like, no. Like, Mac Jones threw for th over 300 yards and then ran for almost over 200 yards. Like, it was not, so we're going to slow down, eat the clock, and just go out with like a 27-7 victory. It was no. They tried their best to absolutely bludgeon the Jets. And if you're a Jet fan, I know most Jet fan I heard from this morning, you're absolutely, down. You're like, has anything gotten better for us? We changed head coaches. We changed coordinators, we change quarterbacks. Nothing has changed if you're a Jets fan.
I feel like the Jets actually score more points than Adam Gase, which is, I don't like saying that. It's just weird. So Alex, we're only halfway mark with the Patriots. They're the team that did the most retooling in the offseason, spending a ton of money and they're showing a 3-4 record right now, which is, they can jump it back in the playoff race. But does it look like that? I mean, what do you think the problem is? Is it that they're not using the personnel the right way, or maybe they just the peop maybe just the parts just don't work?
On the defensive side, they're not as good as they used to be before. And some of the older Patriot teams, I mean, they got the depth, and they got the guys, the good culture staff. They can kind of do some things, but they're no more elite players on that side of the field. Offensively, the team kind of goes as far as their quarterback goes, and the quarterback's lemon because it's not like he's got a ton of wide receiver weapons. So whenever Mac Jones kind of plays really well, they look really good. They look like a really good team. When he doesn't play well, they look like a 3 or 4 team.
All right. Next, we have Carolina at the Giants. Carolina 3, the Giants 25. Both teams securing their spot in the bottom of their own divisions now. Carolina up 3-0. Giants went up to put up 25 unanswered points to the point where Darnold even got benched. And we talked about last week, is Darnold the quarterback? And as every week goes on, we start to question it more and more. And the other weird thing is, since 2017, the Giants have the worst record in football. I don't know if anyone knows that. That's just kind of crazy. They have a worse record than the Jets and the Jaguars since 2017. But Alex, I mean, I think we're showing how valuable CMC is to that Panthers offense because Darnold looks like he's lost out there without him, right?
Oh yeah, that's part of it. But it's one of those things that you are who we thought you were. We thought highly of on Donald than maybe his Jets career said, and I think he is. He's better than the worst quarterback in football. But I mean, you saw him getting pulled. I mean, they're basically getting what they were getting from Teddy Bridgewater last year. So this was a Giants team that's kind of depleted. Giants didn't even have weapons to give Carolina a jump or a threat, but Carolina just couldn't move the football.
All right, next we got the Bears 3, Tampa Bay 38. Evans and Brady hook up 3 times. Brady throws a 600th touchdown. The Bears have scored the third least points in all of football, and they have scored the least points in the NFC. Is it time to let Justin Fields ride the bench for a couple weeks to kind of regain confidence, momentum? I mean, it's not all on him. It's some of this is coaching scheme and stuff like that. But do you think they're better off just letting him stay out there, or do you think they're better off letting Darnold have a couple games?
And this is what the conundrum I always tell people when you play a young quarterback too early. He's like, well, you just put him on the bench. Okay, so he sucked. Okay, he's sucking. Do you think he's going to get his confidence back by benching him, reassuring that he sucked and he probably can't play in football, or keep playing him and let him continue to be the disaster he is? So that's the million-dollar question to me. If I'm the coaching staff, I'm trying to keep my job. I'm probably sure they've probably already been told they're probably going to not be back this year, next year. I'm pretty sure that. I'm pretty sure ownership is probably just told them, hey, just make sure this quarterback is ready for next year, and we'll take care of this offseason. Because I mean, there's no immediate playoff threat or future. But makes you kind of feel bad that they crapped on the MVP and let him go in free agency.
Never thought we'd say that. Next is the game that I think I was most invested in watching just out of curiosity is the Jared Goff Bowl. The Detroit 19, LA Rams 28. I want to give the Lions lots of credit for being undermanned and out talented. Going up and scoring, going up 7-0, and then kicking the onside kick after they get the lead, which then was statistically, I think, the first possession they've ever had all year with the lead. Then they go for a fake punt. They go up to nothing, but that slowly falls apart. I really like what they're doing. They have nothing to lose this year. Do you have any thoughts on that game, Alex?
If you are a random fan of football and you just watch a Detroit Lions game, you can't help but just root for them. Those guys play hard. They play hard for a coach they know nothing about. I mean, I'm still a little upset they haven't bit any kneecaps yet or any ankles yet. I'm a little upset at that. But man, you play the Lions, you're going to get a 4-quarter, sometimes 5-quarter fight. And it's just amazing. But it just is a football play. It gets depressing when you know what's going to happen at the end. My goodness, man. They gave it all. They left it all on the field and somehow, some way, still lost.
All right, next, Texans at Cardinals. Texans 5, Cardinals 31. I don't even want to talk about the game, Alex. I just want to talk about this one topic. Trade deadline's coming up. Watson possibly getting traded, talking about getting traded to even the Dolphins or Panthers. How come no one is questioning another Dolphins to Texans trade? Because every single time this happens, the Texans look stupid, and now they're about to trade Watson. So would you be concerned that they make another trade with the Dolphins and look really dumb again, Alex?
I know I wouldn't, for the simple fact that I think you actually have, I wouldn't say the front office competent, but they're not a head coach just trying to do something to save his job. I mean, Bill O'Brien has no idea what he was doing as a front office person. While we talked about coaches probably should be front office people. But I think it's waited, this well will say they've waited so long, whatever they get better look eye-wise worth it. If they wait this long and only get like two first-round picks for them, they're gonna look stupid. They've been holding out for multiple picks and multiple players. They better get themselves. It has to look like they got a big haul, because if it does look like they got a big haul for them, they're gonna look stupid.
Yep. All right. And the last one, we got the we're Eagles 22, Raiders 33. Raiders looking good post Gruden 2-0. Crosby's number one PFF pass rush in football. He's got five sacks and tons of pressures. We're just gonna get through this. And then last one was the Sunday night game, Colts at Niners. Colts win the game. It was just a weird play calling game with tons of rain. Colts putting themselves back in the AFC kind of run, and Niners probably potentially be knocked out of the end playoff chances. But let's quickly get into the fantasy side of this and finish up this episode, Alex. So, getting to the quarterbacks, this week's top five, we got Stafford, Burrow, Tua, Rodgers, and Brady. One thing that's kind of weird is Mahomes had less points than the backup on the Jets who came in and played the game. So Mahomes scored less points with 7.74 fantasy points. The other weird thing is Derrick Henry had more passing touchdowns than Mahomes. Now, last week we talked about Tua rostered at 25%. Now it's at 42%. I'm going to say it one more time. You have to pick them up. They cannot run the ball. You talked about Matt Ryan earlier, Alex. In the last 4 weeks, 10 touchdowns, one interception. Maybe consider getting him. He's getting Russell Gage back. He hasn't had that other receiving option. So between Ridley, Gage, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Pitts, a lot of good weapons there for Matt Ryan. Do you have any waiver wire pickups or talk for the quarterback side, Alex?
Yeah, I got something to pick up on one of the things you just talked about, Tua. Right now, Tua is kind of the 43rd percent. It's 43% of rosters actually have Tua on their bench. We're talking going into that week right now. We're still dealing with obviously not buying again, and so you're not dealing with that many buys. But if you're desperate right now and you don't have a quarterback, or you got a quarterback that got hit, hopefully you didn't have the Jets quarterback as your starting quarterback. You should have someone better. But Tua is definitely a pickup you want to look at. And then also, I'm seeing Mac Jones is in 13.8% of most leagues. He's definitely shown in the last couple of weeks that he's playable. If you have a wire pickup where you have an injured quarterback and you need somebody to kind of fill in, or maybe someone on bye, those two are two good, really good options.
All right. Moving on to the running backs. This is where I talk. This is a weird position. DeAndre Swift was number one, which is not unusual. But you got two Patriot running backs up there on the top five, Harris and Bolden, then D'Ernest Johnson on the Browns, and then Herbert, who was not supposed to, with Williams coming back, we weren't sure, and then going against the Bucks, still had 100 yards rushing. Going into this week, though, Henry had five straight 100 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns, but he ended up only having a passing touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns, and no 100-yard game. Just kind of weird. Something to look forward to, Chubb maybe coming back against the Steelers, but that's going to be a really tough matchup. So maybe look at D'Ernest Johnson there. And last two things, Drake. He had 14 carries, 69 yards on a touchdown with Jacobs being out. So kind of monitor how much of a serious injury it is for Jacobs. It looks like right now it's not a serious injury. And the last thing is Miles Sanders. He finally gets fed the ball, six carries in the first two drives for 30 yards, and then he gets hurt. So look for Scott and Gainwell to kind of be the split there. Gainwell is obviously more the receiving back, in Philadelphia. Alex, give me a waiver wire talk there for running backs.
Yeah, we're monitoring injuries. That's the main thing. You have to monitor these injuries because if the players are playing, then you're obviously looking at a situation that you don't need them. One is Kenyon Drake. If you're looking at Jacobs, and Jacobs looks like he might be out longer, doesn't seem like a serious, like you said. You look, he's in 59.6% of rosters right now, so he should be able to be picked up. Kenneth Gainwell, you just talked about him. He's in 26.3% of rosters right now. If you hear a little bit more about Miles Sanders and not playing, he might be a pickup. And Darius Johnson, we talked about him. He's at 71.5% of rosters. We obviously know that Chubb more than likely is going to be coming back. So there's kind of a feeling, an inkling of some people willing to drop him. But the Browns are going to run the football, whether it's Chubb and Hunt or it's with Chubb and somebody else. They're going to run it 30, 40 times. So I wouldn't get rid of Johnson just yet. I use him kind of as a flex position right now. And Herbert, if you haven't heard right now, Herbert, someone you want to pick up right now, 61.7% of the leagues. He's in the leagues. He's on a roster. Right now, he's kind of showing that he's the lead back right now, at least until Montgomery comes back. So I will look at that as well.
All right, for wide receivers, top five this week, we got Kupp, of course, Chase, Evans, A.J. Brown, McLaurin. So kind of a normal top five for wide receiver, unlike running back. The only few things I got for wide receiver to kind of look for is Raymond was number 10 on the Lions. We've talked him up in the past 5 weeks. Four of those weeks, he's gotten six or more targets. And in three of those weeks, he had more than 12 fantasy points. So maybe look at him if you kind of need a little more depth. And Bateman coming back for the Ravens has had six targets now in both games he's played. Alex, any other things there for the wide receivers?
Like you said, Raymond, he's owning 5.9% of the league. So he should be somebody you should be looking at picking up. The Lions are going to be behind a lot, so they're going to throw the football. So he's kind of had a six or more targets in the last couple of weeks. You talk about Bateman, he's coming off an injury. He's been owning 6.8% of the rosters. Something that just came across the wire, if you haven't been paying attention, Davante Adams, he's got COVID. There's an outside chance that he can play Thursday. If he does it, you want to pick up Valdez Scantling. He's in 1.7% of rosters, so he should be out there. Or if you're in a deeper league, Alan Lazard, he's in 4.9% of the rosters right now as just checking a minute ago. So those are a couple of different options you want to look at.
All right. And just kind of wrapping this up on tight ends now. Happy National Tight End Day during this last week's games. A lot of tight ends putting up good games. Top three this week, Uzomah, Pitts, and Gesicki. So we're seeing kind of Pitts and Gesicki up there kind of consistently. And Uzomah has been up there twice now. The thing with Uzomah, he's only had more than three catches in one game season, so it's kind of hard to target him. Moreau filled in for Waller, did a great job. O.J. Howard, we told you to stay away from him, so hopefully you did. But Alex, any other tight end talk you got?
Yeah, that's a rare factor on Uzomah. He's only 10% of the leagues, but he's kind of got two or three catches in the last couple weeks per game. So, yeah, it looked like he had a big game this week, but I would definitely red flag stay away from him. Foster Moreau, we talked a little bit about him and about the fact he kind of took over those yards for Darren Waller. I would obviously advise to keep a lookout for Waller. More likely he's going to play this week, but if he's not, Moreau might be a better pickup for you. He's only 5.7%. Oh, yeah, on a bye. So he'll have the time of that, but he's only 5.7% of the leagues right now. And Zach Ertz, for some reason, he's only owned 64% of the leagues. They traded for him for a reason. They're going to be feeding him. I know I absolutely understand they have a ton of wide receivers wide, but one of the things we've kind of seen is how random the tight end situation has kind of been. But Zach Ertz is definitely still somebody right now. If you're looking for someone to pick up, definitely players still on a bye. He's someone you want to pick up maybe for a week or so just to kind of get your bye.
All right. So that kind of wraps up everything we want to talk about. We're just kind of hitting just that 30-minute mark right there. So we're going to wrap it up there. So please listen, share, subscribe, leave reviews. We appreciate all that stuff. We'll be back with another episode in about another week. Alex, is there anything quickly before you wrap this up?
No, not any. Just we definitely post things on our Facebook page. If you would, please respond, give some feedback or some different things. You got any questions, you can always ask us. Any statements or anything like that, they feel free to post on that. That community is for our fans, by our fans. This is a sports talk for fans, five fans. So you got a voice. We want to hear it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week.